Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving.
I'm one of your hosts today, Aaron Snyder.
And I'm Marie Cochran.
Today we have a really special episode, and it's when we're beginning to celebrate 250 years of service from the Corps of Engineers. And to me, 250 years, I'm like, I can't even comprehend 250 years. That's longer than we've been a country. And the Corps of Engineers has been serving the nation and making a positive impact. And frankly, you don't last 250 years unless you're doing really good things. And this just is so amazing to Marie.
That's right. 250 years is a huge deal. And think about all that's happened and changed during that time and how the Corps, how we've had to evolve and maybe take on some new challenges and just continue to be relevant and serve in ways that really make a difference. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. In prep for this podcast, I was kind of like, man, 250 years, like, I wonder like how many businesses or companies have even existed 250 years or longer than the Corps of Engineers and New England District. And according to my quick internet search, there's only 14 companies that have lasted longer than the Corps. And the majority of those were farms. Not to diminish farmers by any means, but that's impressive that we have lasted this long and New England District has been serving us for this long. It's really impressive because that means you've had an impact, you know, over the history, and I anticipate we're going to have a big impact in the future. So today we're really excited and honored to have Colonel Pabus with us, the commander of the New England District. Welcome, Colonel Pabus.
Hey, good morning, Marie. Good morning, Aaron. This is a great opportunity. Looking forward to talking about one of the things I love the most, and that's New England, and it's great to be here serving in New England. So this is going to be a great show.
So before we get into the podcast and talking about the history, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Of course. I grew up in New England. I was born and raised in Wilbraham, Massachusetts. That's out near Springfield, Massachusetts. After growing up, I went to West Point to get my commission as an engineer officer in the Army. After a typical Army career of, you know, being in key leadership positions, platoon leader, company commander, being a staff engineer, I found my way to come back to be a commander at the district command level. And, you know, no better place to do that than where I grew up.
Thanks for sharing that. And I guess kind of continuing on with the personal note here and reflecting on this 250-year anniversary, what does it mean to you, like personally and professionally, leading the New England District during this milestone?
I mean, this is absolutely incredible. You can't walk around anywhere in New England without seeing, you know, all these different marks that have been put on it throughout our history. You know, every single day on my way to work, I drive through Concord. I drive by various points that are on the Battle of Concord, Lexington. And it's a reminder of the amount of history that's here. You know, just down the road, we've got Bunker Hill. You know, we've got the Constitution anchored here in Boston Harbor. And it's absolutely incredible. And I kind of take it for granted because I grew up around all of this, right? We think that the world's old and everybody else gets the same amount of U.S. history in school, and we get to hear about all this stuff. And then you travel around and you realize that, you know, not everybody has Bunker Hill that they can go visit for a third grade field trip. Not everybody gets to go see the Old North Bridge in Concord for, you know, for their junior high school field trips, or get to go onto the Constitution. And to see that type of place, we were talking earlier when you said that there's not too many businesses that have been around for 250 years. There's buildings that are down in Boston that are still in use that, you know, were in use back before the Revolutionary War. You know, we've got the Green Dragon and the Bell in Hand, two of the taverns that are down there play kind of a key role for the Revolutionary War. So to be here in the middle of it when all of these things are coming together, it's kind of like, you know, my inner 12-year-old is getting excited for the tall ships coming back into Boston Harbor, where we're getting, you know, excited for the parades, and that's really cool. And we play a huge role involved in this with USAIS. You know, the nation hasn't existed without the Corps of Engineers, and the Corps of Engineers started here in New England. We haven't had New England without the Corps of Engineers, or should say we haven't had a nation without the Corps of Engineers. We obviously haven't had a nation without the Corps of Engineers being in New England.
Yeah, it's fun to look back at the history, and it's still mind-blowing to me, like, how much the Corps of Engineers has done across the country. But obviously, I want to focus a little bit on New England District, and kind of curious, over that 250 years of presence, like, what are some of, like, the big notable projects or big, you know, things that have really impacted the nation as we've grown to where we are today?
Wow, Aaron, I wouldn't even know where to start. You know, New England, when I say that America started here in New England, and we have so many critical things that are, you know, our civil works infrastructure projects that protect key infrastructure that were, you know, part of the starting of our nation. Most of the projects that flood risk management projects that we have are meant to protect our defense industrial base that used to be here in New England, around all the factories, around all of the businesses that have since moved elsewhere. We still have some remnants of some of the big names, and I'm not going to endorse any of those particular defense contractors, but those are still around in the area, right? The areas between Hartford, Springfield, and Boston, it's just a huge place for development. And, you know, as we go into the future, you're going to see the same types of development with the biomedical and the robotics that are coming out of this area here. So the projects that we have are just absolutely critical to the people in New England to protect them, but also protect the industry that has led to our national defense and will continue to lead to our national defense into the future. Pretty interesting. You know, we joke about it here. I think I should have a streamer on my guide on that, you know, from the Battle of Boston, because the first Corps of Engineers project, we consider it to be the fortifications that were built for the Battle of Bunker Hill. Pretty interesting. The first chief of engineers was selected by General Washington was Colonel Gridley. Colonel Richard Gridley was selected to make the fortress and the fortifications for Bunker Hill. Took about 1,000 soldiers with him, went over there and, you know, overnight built the fortifications for Bunker Hill. In my opinion, the colonials had won the Battle of Bunker Hill. The only reason they abandoned Bunker Hill is because they ran out of ammunition to continue shooting at the British soldiers, which is a pretty big deal, you know, for the history there, I guess.
Well, I've already learned a lot just from the first few minutes there. thank you for that. I'm wondering if you can share a little bit more about, like, what's unique about this region of the country, and maybe help me understand a little bit more about, like, how our agency's role maybe in this region has kind of changed over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to apologize. I am not a historian. So, you know, if someone's going to check my historical facts, it's mostly fiction. And I'm going to embellish on the fiction to make the story that much better. But, you know, we want to pay a little homage to Colonel Gridley in all that we do here. I'm going to switch gears and talk about some of the uniqueness to New England. So we have, I believe it's like 6,100 miles of coastline here in New England. Lots of small harbors, lots of small estuaries, all kinds of small places where when people began settling in America, were able to bring their boats in and able to seek refuge in a lot of these places. Nowadays, I think we have approximately 81 federal harbors throughout New England as a result of that. In all of these federal harbors, we have lots of commerce, lots of defense projects that are coming through these areas. And we've been maintaining them since the early 1800s. It's very unique. It's very old. It's very cool. You know, we have breakwaters that are off the coast of Maine that were put out there in the early 1800s that are still protecting the harbors there. And we do regular maintenance on some of these projects. It's pretty interesting. You know, relatively speaking, America's pretty new. When you wander around through New England and you see some of these old things that are out there, and to know that the Corps of Engineers were placing those projects out there and they're still in use today, it's pretty amazing.
Thanks. It's really interesting to reflect on that. And just think of the magnitude that you mentioned, you know, 81 harbors and commerce coming in through these harbors. And, you know, that's changed a lot over time, obviously, in the back in the day, it was smaller ships, and then you probably have big container ships now. But I don't know if a lot of folks understand like how things get from, you know, a manufacturing plant somewhere into the United States and to their doorstep. And the Corps of Engineers is a critical part of that. And obviously New England with all these harbors is another critical component to that. But this is just the reach of the Corps of Engineers and the value that we have to the nation. And that's just one small aspect of what the Corps of Engineers has done throughout the nation's history. And thinking of 250 years, like, this is a big deal. Like, I feel like you guys should be throwing some sort of big party or something. I'm kind of curious, like, how do you plan to celebrate this really significant event?
It's going to be incredible, Aaron. You know, we've got all the parades in the local area that we're going to be participating in. We'll be marching with the our Rangers, and my deputy and myself will be in the Concord 250th anniversary parade here in April. We'll also be marching in the Bunker Hill Parade. We plan to go over to Colonel Gridley's gravesite, which is also local here. Probably put a wreath down, talk about some of the importance with that. We're going to visit Lexington. We've partnered with a few different organizations in the area, one of which is the Connecticut Suns, which is a women's professional basketball team. They're doing a Corps of Engineers hometown hero night, so we're going to bring as many people from the team that we can to over to there, use that opportunity to, you know, try and educate the public as to what we're doing with the Corps of Engineers, why it's exciting for its 250 years for us, as well as hopefully reach a part of the population where we can say, hey, we want more great teammates where we can. We want everybody to understand what the Corps of Engineers does. We're always looking to educate our partners. So that's going to be incredible. And we're going to round all this out with as many videos as we can, keep our social media presence out there. We're going to try and highlight most of our projects, most of our civil works projects. We have a campaign that we're going to be putting through explaining to most of the public around our flood risk management projects, what the flood risk management project does, how it interacts with them, how it saves them on a daily basis, hopefully saves their property in the event of, you know, a weather event that would cause flooding, or, you know, as the any bit of the sea rise. Some of the things, we've got some pretty unique projects here in New England in our civil works projects. We maintain 31 dams and 3 hurricane barriers. Every single day, our rangers are out there, you know, protecting the public with that. And we want to kind of put this whole message in of what they're doing, how they're helping the people of New England, and tie that in with the our social media, our 250th celebrations. And on top of that, we're going to have a Founders Day party here for the district, which will this year is going to be probably one of the best ones we've ever had. Everybody here is tied into the 250-year anniversary of the Corps of Engineers, and it's a party that we have, you know, I say the most traditional picnic. We bring all of our employees in and celebrate. But this year we're trying to go over the top, make sure that everybody knows that, you know, that they're part of the team and they're part of this history.
Wow. That's a lot that you've got planned. It sounds like you're going to be pretty busy and busy having fun, I guess I should say too. So I was going to ask if you had any specific projects that you wanted to bring up. You had mentioned some flood risk management, hurricane type projects. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to highlight? Are there any significant projects that the district's currently working on that you wanted to kind of share with us?
Yeah, of course. I'll talk about a couple projects. You know, I very briefly glanced over the flood risk management projects that we do have with our dams and our hurricane barriers. We have 3 hurricane barriers. One in Sanford, Connecticut, one in Bedford, Massachusetts, and one in Rhode Island. And each one of these has a very unique role. If we have an extra high tide due to a storm surge or anything like that, it keeps the ocean from coming back into local community, which may seem like, you know, kind of a nuisance to have a little bit of flooding. But if we have, you know, the ocean pushing into the communities, it starts shutting down not only the commercial businesses in there, but it also starts to affect everyday people. And, you know, if folks are having to worry about keeping the ocean out of their basement, they're not able to get to school, they're not able to get to work, generally causes other problems, not to mention, you know, just the destruction of our personal property. So we operate those almost on the regular when there's big storm surges with the king tide, or whether it comes up with an actual hurricane or other type of storm, and those are kind of a big deal. They're kind of an unsung hero for a lot that we've got going on here, and that's some of the flood risk management projects. But also want to talk about some coastal storm risk management. We're doing a study for the city of Boston right now. The state of Massachusetts has been an incredible partner with us. The city of Boston has been an incredible partner. We signed a feasibility cost sharing agreement back in May of 2022. And this study area includes most of the city of Boston and the greater Boston metropolitan area. So it's a pretty big project. It's about 48 square miles. And this will impact, I would say, almost everyone that lives in the Boston area. We're doing a lot with the study, but in the past we see huge storms that are coming through here. We had a blizzard back in 78 that I vaguely remember, and I say I vaguely remember because I just probably remember more of the pictures of it and whatnot. But we had a high tide that came in with that blizzard. It was like over 15 feet high, and a lot of these would be flooding most of most of Boston, the Coast Guard station that's down there, the Navy docks that are down there. So this is a really complex, really progressive project that we're getting after with our collaboration with our partners here in Boston, and it's pretty cool because the way that I look at it, I don't want to take away from any of the beauty, any of the history of a city like Boston. And, I guess we could put a huge wall around Boston to protect it, but that's not what anybody wants to look at, right? So we're going to go in with our partners in the city here, and we're going to look at other ways that we can protect the infrastructure. The city of Boston has done some great jobs. They have some running tracks, and they have some areas along the piers where they've already started to think about this. And we're going to tie into the work that they're doing there. So that's really exciting as we get to it. Another project that's near and dear to my heart, I spent most of my summers growing up, going up to the beach in southern Maine. And Saco, Maine is one of those places where there's Camp Ellis, which is a small part of Saco, as a result of the erosion from the storms that have come through there. And one of our projects, we have a jetty that protects one of the federal navigation channels that go through there, has really started to scour away at the beach, and over time has started to impact individual properties that are in there. So with Section 111, we're able to do a study where we looked at putting a spur jetty off of that jetty to reduce some of the energy that's coming into the shore. And it's going to, slow the erosion there. After that, we're going to be able to do some beach nourishment, which is good for the local environment, as well as protect the public and the private infrastructure that's there, while still allowing us to maintain our project and keep the navigation channel open. So really excited about that. And I think we're probably going to go to construction of that here either at the end of 2025 or the beginning of 2026. So they're just a few of the projects that we have and how we impact the people of New England.
That's great. It sounds like, you guys have a lot going on there. Shows the really the benefit and the value you guys have had to these projects. And I really like to hear about how you're adapting to these as we move forward. I think you talked about some of those hurricane protection things, and it's amazing. The public doesn't know that they're there because they're actively working. These projects are successful, and it's successful when the public has no idea what's happening, that these are there to function for them. So that's always a good news story. And I like to hear you talking about that study in Boston. And it kind of thinks of it seems like New England District Corps of Engineers has been pretty adaptable and flexible over the years to do what we need to do with the times. And looking forward, what are, some of those challenges that you see us facing, or even the opportunities as we look to the future for how we continue to serve the New England region and the nation?
Yeah, Aaron, I constantly think about my predecessor here, Colonel Adelano, said, someday your picture's going to be on the wall with all those old guys that, used to be here. And what mark are you going to make on it? And I reflect on that a little bit. you know, I think I can probably teach better through a story or whatever, or, you know, my advice probably wouldn't be nearly as profound as some of the other guys on the wall out there. But I'd like to think that, you know, if I were to give one piece of advice to, you know, maybe a future district commander here in New England, it's something that I've heard someone else say many, many different times. You know, if it was easy, someone else would have done it by now, right? And that kind of drives us with the change. We're looking at very complex problems. We're trying to solve these complex problems. We're trying to, you know, deliver them on time, on budget, safely, and all through this, make sure that it's timely and timeless, right? If you look at the projects that we have, most of which were designed either in the 30s or the 50s, and either constructed into the 50s and in the 60s, and they're still operating today. You know, of course, we have to do the maintenance on them. But when you go inside any one of our dams, all the mechanisms and machinery in there, it's gorgeous. It's been, you know, machined back in the 50s and 60s. Every single one of the projects, even the font that's on the name of the project, you can tell what era they were put in there. You know, some of them have some really cool Gothic font. Some of them have some really, you know, industrial, like in-your-face letters to it. And it's so different. But even that, you know, maybe the fad of the styles there, but they're absolutely timeless and they continue to work, you know, into the future. And just like everything else, you know, I love old cars and love old mechanical things. But, you know, there's a reason why antique cars aren't the majority on the highways today, right? We're trying to make things better. We're trying to make things safer. We're trying to make things more efficient, easier to work on, easier to maintain, or even easier to replace. And I think we really have to look at a lot of that with our projects, right? It's no secret that the reason why all of our projects are as amazing as they are, it's because of our teammates here that do the work on them every single day. I can't say enough great things about, you know, the engineering team that are constantly looking at the safety of our dams, the folks that are constantly looking at what we need to do better. But at the same time, every single one of my park rangers that operate the dams, I mean, that's the magic. That's where, you know, like you said, if something fails, everyone will know it. But every single night when people go to sleep and they don't realize that we're holding back water, keeping it from flooding the downtown, it's a ranger that's there, that's manning the dam, making the adjustments, working with our RCC here, making sure that we're allowing the right amount of water to go downstream so that we're not flooding, you know, the other projects that are further downstream, or keeping back enough water so that we can use it for some of our partners that would use it for hydropower, or would use it to make sure, you know, that it maintains proper levels so that the fish and the animals that live in the aquatic area can still maintain it. And they're constantly making those adjustments. It's not automated. You know, those weren't computer controlled projects way back then. So, you know, it takes a person that does it, and the folks that do it take a huge pride in everything that they do.
Thanks for sharing that. And I guess kind of turning back to more of a personal note, in all this 250 years of history and thinking about all the lessons that you kind of mentioned, some of them already, that we've kind of faced together. But on a personal note, are there any lessons through our core history that resonate with you in particular, resonate with you, you know, in terms of being a leader? Maybe you can share a little bit about that.
So, you know, on a personal note, and this kind of goes back to the messaging that I want to get out to, you know, all the people around the nation, all the people here in New England, about what we do in the Corps of Engineers, and kind of explain it at the most simple level possible. You know, my grandfather had a summer cabin on a lake out in Brimfield, Massachusetts. And just down the road from it is our dam in East Brimfield. And I've ridden my bicycle past it to go, you know, go to a shop to buy candy when I was probably about 10 years old. I don't know how many different times throughout the summer, and had no idea that there was a dam there. First off, had no idea what the Corps of Engineers and how that, you know, how that plays into it. And, you know, just to think, and that's on my personal note, like it was all around me when I was here and had no idea about it. So how many other kids are out there wondering what they're going to do when they grow up? You know, and if we could influence it just a little bit, saying, hey, this is how the dam works. This is where it fits into the rest of the system to make sure we have the flood risk management. This is why that swamp doesn't go over, you know, Interstate 90, is because there's a dam here holding back all this water, you know, as opposed to just blindly driving by a huge lake on the side of the Mass Pike, wondering, you know, why there's no boats on the lake. Well, it's because it's a few feet deep. It's not, you know, a recreating lake like others, but we use it for impoundment of water, and we can hold back a lot more water there to protect everything that's downstream from East Brimfield. So on the personal note, how these things tie together, I guess that it's just really around us. But from a leadership role, I think that it became, or it should be a curiosity. It's one thing to, you know, find yourself in a position where you're making decisions and you're like, this is cool. It's another thing to be invested in all of the projects that we have going on, be invested in the local area, be invested in, you know, our friends and our family, and, you know, things that we care about, are being protected by our teams. I think, you know, I'd say it doesn't weigh heavily on me. That's not lost on me. That's one of those things that makes it really exciting. So from a leadership point of view, I think that, you know, the curiosity that's out there because of a curiosity of what's been around this area here and how it ties in, and knowing that we have such a huge history, how these things come together. You know, New England has a huge history of manufacturing. And when you go through some of the towns now, you don't understand why these mills that are now like really nice apartment buildings, or some of these mills that are now, you know, kind of bodega type individual store mall type things like that, how they came to be and why they were important. And we tie into all that. And I guess that's kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to tie this into exact leadership, and I'm fanboying on New England here. So it's kind of tougher to say what's the leadership lesson there, other than you have to be curious about it. You have to know why we're doing what we're doing. You have to know where all this stuff ties into the bigger picture. And it's not, you know, it's not just a Boston centric, you know, solution, because Boston's the big city here. It's a New England centric solution, and need to be tied in with our partners when we talk about things like that.
I think that's really helpful to get that perspective. And unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time here. And after 250 years, we have probably a lot more we can talk about. But before we go, I wanted to see if you have any final thoughts on what this anniversary means for the Corps, the people we serve, or anything else you'd like to share.
Yes, Aaron, I don't think I would do it justice to, you know, get done with the interview and not mention all of the airmen, all the soldier, you know, active duty servicemen that work here in New England and have continued to work here in New England. We had a very rich presence, you know, both at Fort Devens and Westover Air Force Base that are now reserve bases, but we still have an active duty presence here. We're still, you know, working on our MILCON projects to help the warfighters that are there. When we look at the 250 years and what that means, you look around and you see all the history here, and Boston is by no means sitting back and, you know, saying we're cool because of our history by itself. The greater New England area is, you know, there's cutting edge technology here for biomedical fields. There's cutting edge technology here within robotics and controls, you know, and all the companies that bring in incredibly smart people and great folks that live in the area that work towards that. They're working towards making our nation better. We're just one small part that fits into that. And I think that's pretty incredible. And I think that when you go around the local area, you know, you'll see we have a New England flag here in New England. Unfortunately, I'd show you the picture of it, but I don't have it in my office, that predates the American flag. And it was, you know, it shows that people here want to identify as part of the new world. And, you know, through the evolution of the New England flag to the Bunker Hill flag, to, you know, the early, you know, the colonial flag with 13 stars on it. If you drive by any one of these towns here, you see all of that. You know, we go to the Bunker Hill parade, we're going to see everybody in the bunker, in the neighborhood around Bunker Hill. They'll be wearing the Bunker Hill flag on their shirts and their hats, and that's how they identify themselves. Everybody here, to include our professional soccer team, knows of the New England flag, and they wear that on their jerseys. That's, you know, it's how folks identify. You know, it's certainly part of old America, but it's definitely, you know, part of new America. And, you know, where we stand at 250 years, we're just getting started. And I think that this is going to be absolutely incredible place to be. Like I said, you know, in addition to all the parades and the fanfare, you know, we're going to go through a 250th year of our nation. We're going to go through a 250th anniversary of the tall ships coming in. I mean, for the next couple of years here, it's just going to be absolutely incredible.
That's really exciting. And I think, you know, I thought you said it best, but you kind of said that basically the Corps of Engineers actions are enabling all of these things to continue in New England, from, you know, the military mission originally to innovation today. So it's just another example of how the Corps is serving the nation. And we want to thank you for joining us today for this edition of Inside the Castle. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you what topics are important to you and people you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and keep delivering for the next 250 years.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the Corps and revolutionize civil works together.